Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
I'm your host, Toya.
And welcome to the space. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the number one podcast in your life. Okay.
Absolutely.
Let it into existence. We're back with episode 8, and we're so glad that you are tuning in for another episode. Today, we're going to kind of pivot into a new direction here from the past 2 weeks talking about the four agreements and everything. Mm-hmm. And then we also did an episode just you guys getting to know us. And so today's topic actually ties into last week's episode because you guys learned about our experiences going through divorce. And today's episode is about the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dark Night of the Soul was actually made popular by a Catholic Spanish monk back mm-hmm. in the 16th century through his poem Noche Oscura, which means dark night. Mm-hmm. And essentially in the poem, he's writing about just this hard time that he's having, like going through some things while on his spiritual journey to know God. And I definitely do believe that that still rings true to what we may define the dark night of the soul as. But I would add to it that it's the hardships that we face on the journey to not just knowing God as something outside of us, but knowing the God as being internal and us being intricately connected to God. So it's the hardships we face getting to know ourselves and our higher power. And there is essentially this disconnect that has taken place. And pop culture tends to like to say that the dark night of the soul is a death of the ego, or it is a spiritual awakening. And I do think in some ways it can be true, but a dark night of the soul doesn't always have to be like spiritual in the sense of your focus being on a spiritual outcome or a specific spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings anyway. So the awakenings that we have could be as a result of other mundane things, you know, or unfortunate mundane things that can happen in our lives, like a divorce or a job loss or an illness.
Right. That's like the cause of it. But I think like right. the end result is the spiritual awakening that people may have, that they have. That's why I think they call it that spiritual awakening, because it's like the what you're experiencing causes you to seek some type of spiritual help, whether, you know, you find mm-hmm. it out. You may start off as outside of you, but then it's like you start looking within yourself. It's like you're searching for something to help you mm-hmm. where you are. So it's kind of like those life experiences, those hard experiences. It's like it's almost like it's like that stepping stone. Like, OK, this is a new chapter. This is a new chapter. Not to say like it's necessarily like going into it as a spiritual awakening. Like you don't consciously say, well, I want to be spiritually woke or something like that, maybe. But it seems like the outcome of it stems from that particular situation. Like we were talking about on our last podcast. Like for me, when I said that getting a divorce was the turn for my mm-hmm. spiritual situation. Mm-hmm. But
And it was, so, it, mm-hmm. it was for me too. But I think I'm trying to disconnect it a little bit just because not everybody is overly spiritual or religious. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. like, sometimes you can just go through hard things and just you seeking help. is a dark night of the soul. If somebody has an addiction, like an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction,
oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, yeah. It could be just you seeking the help and trying to get back connected to yourself. Now, in essence, is it spiritual? Yes, because we're spiritual beings, but your focus, your intent may not be to be religiously spiritual about it. It could just be you connecting back to yourself and getting yourself the help that you need. And it is that journey that we are referring to when we say the dark night of the soul. It's that midlife crisis. It's us facing our demons and trying to get back connected and get back to a place of wholeness within ourselves. But definitely for Toya and I, our divorces, which if you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and listen, because we let you into some personal stuff in there. But I would also say, which they learned in the episode too, that we were already on a spiritual journey. So our divorces, of course, we were going to tie it back to something spiritual because we were already operating with an intent and focus towards developing and evolving ourselves spiritually. But absolutely, I was already kind of like, by the time I went through my divorce, I already had like my first set of like chakra crystals. And like, I was already kind of on this journey of coming out of Orthodox religion. But definitely going through my divorce pushed me to get more into the me, to get more connected to me and understanding who is Jerrica if she's not someone's wife, someone's mother, someone's daughter, you know, without all of the caps and hats that we wear and the titles, who am I? Who is she? And my divorce definitely did that. It definitely catapulted me into a space of getting back connected with myself while simultaneously on this journey, the spiritual journey at the same time. And it was kind of like this parallel experience that was happening. So I think that too, like you when you consider if you're having a dark night of the soul, whether it is your journey to your higher power or whether it's your journey to getting back connected with yourself, you can't talk about the dark night of the soul without kind of bringing up the shadow. Because I just think that when it comes to shadow work, that shadow work is basically just a conscious journeying of the dark night of the soul, you know, where you're consciously willing to go into the depths of your mind and to the depths of your emotions and your memories, and to really pinpoint, you know, where your triggers started or where certain traumas were in order to get to know yourself holistically. And I think the dark night of the soul has a lot of that in there, because you know, a lot of it is unconscious, things that are unconscious that you're trying to bring into consciousness, into
and
your
you have
awareness.
To accept it. You have to come to a place of acceptance with your shadow, and in order to be able to heal from it, heal it and grow, you have to come to a place of acceptance. So in the dark night, it's like everything is in your face. If you have the, you know, if something has occurred that makes you lead up to it, if you have the ability not to completely blame the other person for everything, you'll be able to see that shadow side of yourself. And then you can see the, like, the roles that you've played in the situation. And how you can work on you. And then it still becomes a you thing opposed to the other person and what the other person has done or didn't do.
Right. And like when I mentioned in last week's episode about taking accountability and responsibility for the part that I played that led to the unfortunate events of the infidelity, you know, it's not, again, to say that anybody deserves to get cheated on. But at the same time, if you're looking at things holistically, there, whether it was your words, your actions, or your thoughts, either all of them or a combination of them contributed to the experience of the divorce, you know? So, and that's not to say that I could have stopped it from happening or that it would have necessarily altered the divorce.
Everything belongs.
Everything belongs, exactly. But it's just really taking inventory of the situation and just, you know, owning the parts that projected from me onto the relationship. And it's so interesting because a while back I had ordered this book called Meeting the Shadow, and it's like a collection of authors and readings that's in it. But there was this really, really interesting portion in the section called Meeting the Shadow. And the portion for this particular author, I think the author is Patrick Miller or D. Patrick Miller. And it's an interview with John Sanford. And I love that, like, he posed this question and it made me think a lot. He said, and he's talking about a quote from Carl Jung. And the quote from Carl Jung is, "I would rather be whole than good." And so the person that's interviewing is like, you know, why do most people fail to recognize the relationship between evil and excessive goodness? Is there a relationship between being excessively good and the evil things that we do? And like, he goes on to mention that scripture in the Bible where I want to say it's Paul who's basically saying something like, you know, the good that I would do I don't do, but then the evil that I don't want to do I do. And that reminded me like of the shadow, because essentially
because you know better, you know what you should be knowing,
right but then like for some reason there's a part of you that is like bucking the system, like right. I don't want to do it,
you know. And you can you imagine how many people you interact with? That's why you can't take it personal.
Correct.
But it's like, I know to do good, the good that I would do I do not. But the evil which I wouldn't do, that's what I do.
Right.
That makes sense.
See, but that's like the ego and the shadow, like having this battle. And essentially, if the shadow is everything that has been rejected during the upbringing or the development of our personality, we kind of, there's animosity towards the ego because the ego is what has decided what is and isn't acceptable. So
you, that ego. Okay.
So there's like a war that's happening within your body, that what is it, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation.
Right. And the thing is, yeah, the ego is like against you.
Yes.
Basically, it makes life so much harder because those things that do happen, even in the dark night, it's affecting us that way. Mm-hmm. Why? Because what, our spirit not in agreement according to Abraham?
Know, I wouldn't say that the ego is against us. The ego is simply the personality that is the driving force. It's what protects us so that we can be accepted in society and so that we can thrive. And so it's operating it
so much until it's hard when it's time.
Well, that's because its job is to protect us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it protects us to its detriment, where it's attacking itself. Mm-hmm. But it definitely serves its purpose as far as making sure the ego makes sure that we can function on a day-to-day basis so that we can get the love that we need, or, you know, it's trying to manage everything to make sure we're okay, or whatever the definition of okay is. And so then when the things of the shadow, which are the things that were rejected, mm-hmm. come up and it could possibly threaten our survival in society, the ego is going to continue to banish it. Like, you go back into your cage because you can't belong right now in order for Jerrica to be Jerrica or for Toya to be Toya, because the ego has established itself. And not in a bad way, but in the way that it's been conditioned to in order to cope with the world around us. So it's like, if you were raised religious, if you were raised that being good meant being loving and kind and generous and upright, then by default, you have to repress anything that's opposite to that. So anger, selfishness, maybe your sexuality or certain beliefs, all of that gets repressed to go into a box, never to be seen, because it threatens how we are showing up in the world.
Right. But then if someone is interacting with you and you're not seeing it in that same way you're projecting it, then your response based on your ego.
But the ego,
that's the
is
part
doing...
that I'm saying, like, that's, it's like when you're on that spiritual journey, that part is like, oh God, this ego is out of control.
But it's not. It's the programming that's out of control.
Right.
The ego is only doing, it's only expressing the programming that was put in.
Right.
So the cognitive dissonance that we get when we are presented with new information and we're rejecting it automatically, that's the ego. Because we have told the ego that this is who we are, and now we've got new information filtering in that's antithetical to what the programming is. So it's going to protect itself by rejecting this new information,
right?
Unless we address the programming. Then the ego will get, because the ego never dies. So when we become a new person, like the person I am today, my ego is still here, but it's been reframed because I've done work to allow myself to accept myself for being myself.
And do you find many times during the week that you still have to address your ego?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Because again, the ego is going to protect the programming. So if I'm bringing in new stuff, I have to do the work to put my ego through the training class to understand this new mode of operation. Because if not, it's my ego's job to protect me. So it's going to take that new information and put that shit right on over in the shadow pile. Ego's going to be like, boss. You know, the ego, in my opinion, is the dutiful servant. It serves you. It does exactly what you've asked it to do.
Until you, but the conflict comes when you don't want it anymore, when you don't want those parts of it. And it's like, no, I'm still here. I'm still here. And you're still going to operate off this, or you still have your responses based off your ego. And, you know,
but that's like teaching your kids to be a certain way. And then when you've changed as a parent, but your kids are still operating off of the old system, that's like saying your kid is the problem. Now, the kid isn't the problem. The parent has to get everybody up to date with what's going on and understand that just because you change, it's going to take time for everything else that you programmed on the old system to catch up, to transfer over to the new system, you know? So I feel like that child would be the ego. So when our consciousness and our soul has decided to go in the new direction, it's our job to retrain the ego. So, because as soon as we do, the ego is going to be on board. It has nothing, it has no reason to not serve us. It's doing, and the thing is that the ego works off of autopilot. So whatever we have programmed it to do, that's what we're going to get out of it. And so if we want something new from our ego, we have to put in a new program. And uninstall the old one. But I find the way I look at the relationship with my ego, it serves me. And it serves me so that I can take my consciousness, my focus, and put it on other things to continue to evolve. So then when my consciousness has run into new information, then I need to take that information and let my ego know. And my ego may be feeling away because it's used to running one way. Now, the ego is a part of the personality. And so then the emotions we get behind the quote unquote death of the old paradigm, that's the dark night of the soul. That's the sadness and the grieving and the what feels like suffering because it's change. And it sometimes feels like change death. Isn't pretty.
Right. It feels like death. It feels like you're dying or you want to die for some people. You know, you may feel like you want to die. And like you said, it's that depression that you may feel. It's a different, of course, it's different than depression, but
it can manifest as depression, though.
Right. It manifests as depression, but you know, but you're still operating. You're still trying to figure it out at the same time with the, in that time frame.
And all the experiences can be, because sometimes if your dark night of the soul, whatever the event is that caused it, it could, you know, if it's causing you to change up your friends or change up your circle and maybe you have to cut some people off or something like that, that's a part of that grieving and sadness too. Because being around those people no longer support the program that you have. There's nothing in common anymore. And you know, and that was a part of the case with the divorces. You've grown into different people now, so you're no longer resonating. And so there is a grieving that takes place because the emotions have to get used to something that has been dependent upon. The presence of that person, you've become so attached and dependent upon it. And now that it leaves or it's gone, and it doesn't have to be a relationship. It can be your job, and we can have relationships with our jobs, you know, or whatever it is that we're losing or that's changing.
Just a friendship, the loss of your friendship, and what that person was to you as a friend, or you consider them a friend. That's a part of it as well. But during that time, you're not thinking about all the things that's contributing to your pain. You know, everything is happening, because sometimes it can be a case where you feel like everything's happening at once. It may not solely be just you lost a loved one, like a death of a family member or something tragic, some type of trauma.
It could be a multitude of things.
Yes, at one time hitting you. So you're not necessarily acknowledging the situation as I've lost this, and this. And so now I'm grieving at the same time of the sadness. I'm grieving the death of something, the end of something.
The old you, the old situation.
And so we're not considering all of those things at that time. So you feel you may have that. You can feel disconnected. It's like nothing is making sense anymore. Nothing's going right. Or a lot of times too, you know, we already have our own plan.
Yeah.
And how we may think things should go, or not our plan. Like, we have our destination, but it's just the journey to get there.
Yes.
And so during that time, you're like, I wanted this, and this, but I'm experiencing this. You're still going to get to your end, to your destination. It's just that this has occurred. So during that time, you feel like there is no destination. Like, you're never going to get to the destination. It's like you lose sight of everything that is happening around you, and like almost like you give up. Like, you know what? Just okay.
Because it's almost like a piece of whatever your foundation is, like a piece of it has broken off. And so, you know, that's why we start asking those philosophical questions in life of, well, why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, what is the meaning of all this? Why try? You know, all of those questions start to come up because something that was a part of your very fabric of your being has been tampered with or lost in some sort of way. And even before around the time that I went through my divorce, I had also lost my job because my parents sold our family business. And the woman that took over decided not to keep any of the old staff. And so she laid all of us off. And so not only had my emotional foundation and stability was gone, but also my emotional. And those were happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult. I definitely began to feel like, and this goes back to the whole good and evil thing that I brought up earlier, I felt like I am a good person and I've done good things. How could this be happening to me? Like, mm-hmm. why is this happening? You know, and just that alone is loaded. And, you know, you have, for me at that time, it's asking, well, you know, the definition of good or even evil is all subjective to the person, the perceiver or the person's mm-hmm. consciousness at the end of the day. And, you know, there's that saying, no good deed goes unpunished. Excuse me. And so that's basically to say no good deed goes unpunished. It's like you can try to be all the goodness in the world. It doesn't mean that it's always going to result in good things happening. Mm-hmm. And bad things can happen to what we essentially call good people. And so we have to then be willing to look into where are the origins of what we define good and evil and where they came from. And for a lot of us, it's religious based. Mm-hmm. It comes from our religious systems. And so then when life starts happening to you in what we would consider a negative or bad way, you feel like there's something that you've done. And that contributes to that sadness that mm-hmm. you can feel when you're going through that dark night of the soul. Because you're like, dang, what did I do to deserve this right here?
You know what's interesting about with my time and my experience, I felt like dark night of the soul for me was during before the divorce. Mm-hmm. It's still in the process of it. But what I found, like you said, working with the shadow and everything, what I found during that time, like I wasn't receptive to anything that my ex had to say mm-hmm. about me. You know, everything was all his fault to me at that time. Mm-hmm. But what I found was the person that I thought I was then was actually the person that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was being that person. So after going through the experience and, you know, after the divorce and still getting to know me, because the dark night can last months or years.
Sure can.
And still in the process of getting to know me, then I became who I thought I was. Mm-hmm. But I was able to identify that, oh, girl, you ain't hitting on nothing for real. Not for real, for real. You know, and so here it is, like, so here it is now, like, oh, I thought I was already her. So I had a longing to become this person mm-hmm. that I, like I said, I thought I was this person. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I was speaking her into existence. I'm not sure, but I thought I was her. And
it's like it's that place of like not knowing who you're becoming, but also yes. not being who you were.
Right. Yeah. I had no clue because I thought I was already her. Mm-hmm. And so it's like looking back on it now, that's why I can embrace the experience though.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God, that actually was so good that it happened the way that it happened because I am a different person now.
Yes.
And see, that's one of those things I don't know exactly, but I'm thinking, and when we talk about creating experience, I had a desire to be a certain way, even though I thought I was that person already. So I was operating in it. I'm this, I'm that, I'm speaking it. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't it at the time I was speaking it. Mm-hmm. So it's like I had to, my frequency had to come aligned with what it is that I said I am, who I said I am. Mm-hmm. And so in order, different things happen in our lives in order to get us in vibration with what it is that we're trying to create.
Yeah, definitely. And ultimately, that goes to show that the dark night of the soul is really happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, Carl Jung would say, one does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. So, you know, we don't have these enlightening and these spiritual growth and these aha moments by just being in the light. It's by going through the dark that we find all of this meaning and purpose in things. And it's the beauty that comes from ashes, or the phoenix that rises from the ashes. It's where, you know, the forest goes through this rebirth. When it catches fire, everything burns down, and then a whole new beautiful forest is replaced, you know, because we essentially are just getting rid of the old paradigm, getting rid of the old way of being, and this new version of us emerges, and we've been reborn. So, you know, the dark night of the soul doesn't feel good in the moment, but after a while, you begin to see the benefits of it all.
I call it I like to say the next chapter is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like to call my life chapters. Like, oh, okay, well, this is my new chapter now. And I actually look at it as a book.
I like that.
This is my new chapter.
Yeah.
And we're always becoming. We're always growing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have new chapters throughout your life. I think I think the length of time, I think that you can start to shorten the length of time when you can identify what's happening.
Yeah.
I think you can shorten the length of time by leaning into what's happening and feeling and just going with what's happening, you know? Instead of the resisting of it only prolongs it and only leaves you in that place for a longer time, from my experience. I look at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that when you lean into it and allow yourself to feel it, like any, you know,
surrender
emotion that you're trying to work through. Yeah. Just surrender and allow it to be.
Yep. Because essentially what you resist persists. So you just kind of have to trust the process and really just surrender to what's happening. And you can be in good cheer because it's all working out for you in the long run anyway. And if you can, you know, get with somebody that can help remind you of that, you know, that can keep you motivated and uplifted and remind you that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, another way to form of surrendering is to just ride with the wave. So, you know, like if you're in the ocean, it's a lot more work to swim against the current. But if you just flow with it, meaning just get in there and do the inner work, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going through a dark night of the soul. Well, let's go there. You want to go there in life? Okay, let's go there. And so then you just start getting in there, start reflecting and thinking about how you can go inward in order to come out. And, you know, that is literally how you get out, is to go in. Or as they would say, the way out is in. And once you go in and you really start looking around, you're going to find your way through that labyrinth. And on the other end is just so much bliss, and there will be excitement there. And essentially you start the next journey. So it's like in relation to tarot, you start out with the fool, you know, on this fool's journey. But at the end, you end with the world, where you come out on the other end more enlightened. You understand the experiences at this point. You can see how they benefit you. And then when you're the world, you become the fool for the next journey. Or like you said, Toya, one chapter, the end of one chapter is the beginning of another chapter, and the cycle continues, and there'll be new challenges, but there'll also be new blessings on the new journey. And so you count it all joy, you know, when you're going through things, because you know that it can only go up from here. If you're already at your low point, it can only get better. It can only go up from there.
It can only go up.
And when you go up, then you can look back down and you see the bigger picture. Now you see the bird's eye view of what it was. And for a lot of us, even after all of the emotional roller coaster experiences of the Dark Night of the Soul, we wouldn't change a thing.
Right. You'll still go back through that same experience and to get your
outcome. It's like giving birth. Like, that is not the prettiest process. And for some of us who have given birth, it's very painful. But then that baby comes, you see that baby, and for some reason, we're willing to do it again. Like, it's like, we're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, when you come out of it, it's like this blessing where you don't always remember all of the little hard parts.
You don't remember all the
other people who were there to be like, girl, you don't remember you ripped and had to get stitches.
Right.
No, because the blessing on the other end is so fulfilling and so great that you're equipped
to
go through it.
That's a good example, because that's something you don't remember. It's like, as soon as you have a baby, you don't remember anything.
Right.
Like, you can talk, even when you talk about it, even if you share it, the intense pain, you still, you don't talk about it with that intensity.
No, it's not as when you were living it.
Right. That was a good example. Very, very good example.
Yes. So, when you're going through your dark night of the soul, guys, like, don't fear it. Don't try to avoid it. Don't think it a bad thing. It's literally growth. And sometimes with growth, you have growing pains. And, you know, a lot of the hard work is done in the dark. You know, when you think about planting a seed, you know, or growing a baby. You know, all of that is done in the hidden places, in the dark places. But there's so much activity that's happening under that soil, or there's so much activity happening in the womb before you see the product, before that baby comes out, or before your plant begins to sprout. And now you can see that there's so much work. All that was done in the invisible is what contributed to what's visible.
I think that it wouldn't be so hard if there were no attachments. We're, you know, sometimes us as humans have attachments to things, whether it's a person or a job, or even you attach to yourself. You know, so you know, if you do have some type of life-threatening disease of some sort or something like that, you're attached to yourself. So you're already very, very close to the outcome. I think those are some reasons. That's one of the major reasons why the Dark Night is so difficult, because we're so attached and we don't want to let things go. We don't want to let a person go. We don't want to let our friend go.
Yep.
We don't, I love that job. I had that job for 5 years.
We're so afraid of change. We're so afraid of the unknown. Like, because to change a job, to lose a partner, means that you're about to get into uncharted territory.
And life is different.
We like
at that point.
To be consistent. And because we like the security of being able to depend.
We love security. We love security.
But there's no growth there. you know, and that's why even down to like finances, like I no longer pray for financial stability, like no, financial growth. I don't want my finances to be stable to where they there's no more, I've hit this ceiling and my money can't grow anymore. I need my money to be able to grow and flourish and reach new heights, you know, stuff like that, because stability means just that. It's stable, right? Right where it is. It's consistent right there and only right there. And that's not what we're here to do. We're here to evolve and to continue to have experiences that help us to get to know and remember who we are, why we came here. But yeah, that is the dark night of the soul, the ego and the shadow. All together, but it's all you. Remember, one of the universal laws is polarity and correspondence. So, you know, the shadow is you, the ego is you. One does not exist without the other, and you need both.
You and even if you're not, and even if you're not spiritual, you're going through this dark night, there is still a new. It's still going to be a new day, a new experience, a fresh start. Now, whether you take that a spiritual journey, you're still going to come out a little bit different than you were before. You're going to have some sort of growth in some area, even if it's one area in your life.
Yeah.
There is going to be some type of change that comes from it. So when you are experiencing that, or if you are experiencing it right now, I would say lean into it and embrace it, because something really, really, really magnificent is coming out of it. Something that you probably wanted, but you didn't expect it and you didn't know how you were going to get it. So it's like, look at it as, I don't know what's about to happen. I know this is happening, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, let the chips fall where they may. And I know that that's one of those things that it can be seem easier said than done. But when you're in that place, the dark night of the soul, there's nothing you can do but let the chips fall. Like Jericho was saying, like, if you're, are you going to swim or are you going to just ride the wave?
Yep. It's no use fighting.
It's nothing. And you can't
from an astrological standpoint, if you have had your Saturn return, meaning that you are somewhere between the ages of 28 and 31, Saturn return will tell you there's nothing you can do about it. The cosmos move the way that they move. They have an effect on us. And you just might as well buckle up and just get ready to learn the lessons. And that's the thing. It's learning the lessons so that you don't have to repeat them. Because they have a way of showing back up if there is something in particular that you are meant to get out of it. And so we have these portals. Let's call it portals of opportunity, you know, and that's what Dark Night of the Soul is. They're portals of opportunity. And we have to be able to begin to reframe how we look at things and not look at it as negative. Darkness. Does not mean bad. It's just a different experience than light. But both are aspects of your being. Both are. So it's like, instead of trying to separate your shadow and your ego, integrate it, you know. And some of you may have heard about integrative shadow work. That's what that is about. It's about owning the parts of you that your ego, by programming, has rejected in some sort of way. And what can end up happening is that we disassociate so much from it that it becomes its own personality, like with the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Into the most extreme experiences, a person can develop multiple personality disorder because the ego and society has rejected certain parts of you so much, but it can only be repressed for so long. And so with the person that has multiple personality disorder, that is essentially what's happening. at least from a mm-hmm. spiritual standpoint, is that this part of you has been repressed so long, it's going to have an outlet. Mm-hmm. And so it completely takes over and has its turn in the driving seat,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's so important for us to have wholeness when mm-hmm. it comes to our health. Again, like Carl Jung said, I'd rather be whole than to be good. Because when you're too excessive in anything, it can be bad. Mm-hmm. And wholeness is about balance. So stop repressing the parts of you that you think society or other people won't accept or won't like. And it can be hard because your ego is programmed to protect you in that way. But if you take your focus, your awareness, your consciousness, and direct it to retrain your ego, and you do that work consistently, then your ego won't seem to be fighting against you, because it will now be on board with the new paradigm, with the new programming that you've introduced to it. And then you can begin to be the new you authentically and 100%. Mm. Because a lot of who I am today was a part of my shadow a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now I have integrated those parts of myself to where I wouldn't even consider them the shadow self anymore. It's just me being me. And then, of course, you know, new levels, new devils, they say. So there's probably new versions of a shadow that has taken its place. But it's just to say that the integration can happen if you do the work.
If you do the work. And it's worth doing the work, because now I be to the point to where I'm looking like, okay, so what am I supposed to get from this? Or what was my role in this situation? Where did I play? What role did I play? And where do I need to continue to work on me?
Mm-hmm.
And not be offended by it, or not beat myself up about it? Because again, we're constantly, constantly growing. We're constantly becoming. So it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to continue to work on you and continue to be the best you that you can possibly be during that time as well.
Yep. Yep. Definitely, guys. So those are some tips. Surrender being a big one, doing the work being another one. And the third is just realizing that it's happening for you, not against you. And of course, we understand that that can be hard when you're actually going through it. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. And surround yourself with people that love you and care about you, that can keep you in good spirits as much as possible. If you are looking for reading recommendations on The Dark Night of the Soul or working with the shadow, I definitely recommend Meeting the Shadow. And of course, we recommend Conversations with God, which is very helpful in that too. Or whatever your spiritual go-tos are that you turn to when you need to be comforted. Do the work. Get you some books on boundaries or on abandonment issues or things like that, so that you can begin to get to know yourself and to truly be able to process your feelings. So that you can stay as grounded as possible while going through such a tumultuous time.
Very true. And I have one little bonus tip for you all to make sure that you are continuing to be intentional with your words.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things that you speak are the things that you're going to attract, and that can bring on that experience, because you're still trying to better yourself. You want to get everything out. You want to know your shadow side. You want to work on certain things about yourself. You want to. So in order to do that, you have these experiences. Yeah. And so, you know, be intentional with your words. And, you know, it's the small things that we would say, you know, yeah, like, oh, you make me sick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he get on my nerves. I can't. Oh, why he here? When I go home, you know, just those little things that we mm-hmm. might throw out there, or mm-hmm. even with the kids, or, you know, it's all the little small little negative things that we may put out in the atmosphere. And some things, and, you know, we put positive things out there also.
Yeah.
It's just still the experience that we have to get in order to get where we want to be.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, you know, when you're intentional with your words, then I think when things do start to happen and you start to see things showing up, you can say, oh, okay, I remember I did speak this and this and this. And so, okay. And then when you're coming out of it, you'll be able to reflect back. Oh, I said that and I did want this. Like we talked about on our last podcast of saying, okay, this is the type of man that I would that I choose to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these things that you choose to have in the man. But then at the same time, it's like, well, my marriage, I would like to be married. I want to be married. I want my marriage to work. But then it's like, okay, so which marriage? Because with this right here, what you're asking for is not aligning. So then you going through this process, but now you're fighting for that mm-hmm. marriage that you're in, even though it's not giving you what it is that you're putting out there that you choose to have. It's not giving you the experience that you want, but it's familiar to you. So now you're fighting for it. And so now there's tug of war going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is only making everything more painful. It's mm-hmm. a tug of war at that point. So be intentional with your words. If you want that particular marriage or that particular job, when you're speaking those things, then speak to that particular marriage and to that particular job.
Mm-hmm. Don't focus on what you don't want. Focus on what you do want.
Right. But stay there if you want him to give it to you specifically, if you want that it from this particular person or you want it from this particular company, the door for outside, you know, don't say broad and general statements. Be intentional. Because mm-hmm. broad and general statements may cause you to lose your job or may cause your company to downsize. You may not get fired. You may get laid off. They downsize anything. The company move into a different state, you know, and they don't have work from home. Anything could happen at that point. So make sure you're intentional with your words. Then definitely. I think it'll help you identify what's happening to you in that moment.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we are coming up on an hour for this episode, so we're going to wrap it up. Last, I just wanted to give crystal recommendations for those of you that like to work with crystals. For Dark Night of the Soul and shadow work, I recommend Hypersthene and Brown Tourmaline, Brown Tourmaline is also known as Dravite. That's going to help you do the work. But then for just self-love and being gentle with yourself, I recommend Thulite, Damborite, and Kunzite. So you guys can look those up so that you can, we don't have enough time to go into their meanings and everything right now, but look those up and we wish you good luck on your healing and on your journey. And we will be looking for you to tune in next week.
Absolutely, we'll be.
All right, y'all. Go beyond your beliefs. Bye.
Later.